Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This is WTIC's Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel and Dennis Halnan of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and Dennis by phone at 860-522-9842 or email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com. Get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here are Eric and Dennis on WTIC News Talk 1080.
And good morning. Yes, this is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we're going to be here till 11 o'clock on this Easter weekend. So feel free to get online. We'll do our best to help you out. 860-522-9842 is the number, as always. No matter where you're calling from, if you have a cell phone, it shouldn't cost you anything, depending on what kind of plan you have. If you have a plan that costs you something, I'm sorry. But nobody pays for minutes anymore. Yeah. So feel free to get online. We'll do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. We are also broadcasting via the Facebooks and the YouTubes simultaneously. We are simulcast, Dennis.
We are. Simulcast twice over.
Yes.
So you hear us on the radio, you see us on Facebook, you see us on YouTube.
Utterly redundant.
Yeah.
Is what we are. We get online. We're here to help you guys out. And as usual and customary, we have technology news we hope you can use. What do you want to start with, Dennis?
Well, hey, this news is really, really creepy.
Of course.
This is very creepy. Mm-hmm. As you know, LG's TVs have advertising technology. Mm. When you're not watching something, it's going to show you an ad for whatever.
Yeah.
Whoever is paying them to show their ads, you're going to see them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they are stepping that technology up one by including a way to analyze your emotions while you're watching television.
Wait a minute.
And then customize the ads that you are shown based on that information. So they've got a camera in the TV.
Wait a minute. So you're looking at them, they're looking at you, looking at them?
Yes.
Wait, that seems creepy beyond creepy, Dennis.
Yeah.
That's worse than the Alexa listening to you. Now you've got LG looking at you.
Right.
Is this real?
Well, yeah. I mean, I've got an Ars Technica article about it.
I can't believe it.
And it looks like they've looked into it.
Yeah.
And
so now you got to put a piece of tape over the camera.
It's technology that they acquired from a project or a company called ZenApps.
Hmm.
ZenApps, Zen, and then Synapse.
Hmm.
Put it together.
Sure.
Yeah, very clever little name.
Yeah.
However, they're putting that into what they call WebOS.
Yep, that'd be the operating system.
Which is the operating system for the TV. And you may remember where WebOS came from.
I always think of it as an Android Google tool, but it's something else.
Much older than that.
Okay. Where did it come from?
Palm computing.
You're kidding.
No. It came from Palm when they were getting ready to develop these little tablets long before Android or iPad were coming out.
Yeah.
That, of course, fell apart when Palm fell apart.
Yeah.
And HP bought the, the WebOS, among other things, some other technologies they had. And then HP came out with a whole line of tablets, I think in 08 or 09.
Mm-hmm.
They were even marketed by Manny Pacquiao, MMA fighter or something of that type.
Oh, really?
I mean, I don't follow that particular kind of sport.
You have a strange brain.
He was famous. Well, what was really remarkable was they spent all kinds of advertising money, and they spent millions just giving it to him to be in these ads.
Yeah.
And within a few months of releasing the product, they terminated it.
Huh.
And then they sat on WebOS for years doing nothing whatsoever with it.
I sense a odd commitment to you in this WebOS.
It was just something that was so weird to me at the time that I couldn't make sense of it. And then they sold WebOS to another company, and then it's being licensed to LG.
So, and now it's being used to watch you.
And now it came back from the dead a few times over.
Now, LG, there's a story here, too, about them back in 2013 when they would use your private data even though you told them not to. And that was
LG.
So basically, you guys got to pay attention to this stuff. Now your TV's watching you. Wait till your refrigerator starts watching you, right?
Hey, fatso.
Yeah, close the door. So that's going to be going on. Who knows? We'll put the link up there for you. Go see if your TV's watching you and get a piece of electrical tape and cover that. Cover that. The same way you cover your check engine light. Excuse me. All right, another news. AWS. So they're claiming that 50% of the Azure workloads would jump ship off of the Azure cloud if licensing costs were more on par.
Oh,
so basically,
really?
Yeah. If you want to run a Windows server on an Azure platform, on a non-Azure platform, the licensing is like three times as expensive.
What?
Yeah, it's a ridiculous increase in cost. Microsoft just says, oh, sorry. Basically, here's the price for the licensing, and they discount it, I guess, for the other side of the equation. But this is not unusual when it comes to Microsoft. Again, anti-competitive, of course. And AWS says, hey, you know, we do a lot more business. Now, just so you know, between 70 and 80% of enterprise customers, listen up, everybody.
What?
Still runs Windows on premises. 70 to 80% of enterprises still run local servers.
Okay.
Not surprising to me.
No.
Not surprising to you.
No, not at all.
But surprising to so many people that said, oh, cloud. Let's go to the cloud. The reason they don't go to the cloud is because they watch things like CDK happen where the entire cloud gets hacked and you're like, I can't sell a car.
Right.
But if you had your server locally, you could sell
you
a
could.
Car.
You could. And even if it got breached, all you got to do is go to a backup, stand up a new machine,
right,
and keep going.
So that's an interesting stat, 70 to 80%. So the point, though, is that AWS says, hey, we'd like to host your stuff in our cloud if you ever decide to move it there, but you can't because of the licensing that Microsoft forces on you. They charge you more.
Can I ask a silly question?
Maybe.
Is there any justification that Microsoft gives for charging three times as much for licensing that way?
Just because.
I mean, is there something that you're paying them for, like an added feature in the Windows that allows it to run better on, say, AWS as opposed to Azure?
Nope.
So you're getting no gain in functionality for that extra money that you spent.
Nothing in this article that says it's a better job to put it in Azure versus any other public cloud. So we'll put a link up here to this story. Again, it's not surprising, right? And this is the issue that worries me the most about Microsoft. And they've already been in trouble as a monopoly way back when.
Oh, yeah, 1998.
And when you stick your stuff in their cloud, just wait until they start cranking up those prices on you. Where are you going to go? You need competitors like AWS to be there so that, you could move your payload, your operation somewhere else.
Right.
Right? But no, you know.
And
yeah.
Not only do they raise your prices, if you do decide that you want to leave.
Oh, the egress cost.
You have to pay a fee to them to let you take your stuff away.
Yeah, you should look at the egress costs. Egress costs of your data getting off any cloud, actually, can be quite shocking. So once stick it in there, getting it out is going to cost you an arm and a leg. So keep that in mind. Anything you want to bring up, Dennis, before we go to the break?
Oh, we also have another data breach.
Yeah, of course.
This is from Hertz Rent-A-Car.
Oh, boy.
And, you know, when I saw this, I'm like, oh, okay, another breach.
Another breach,
you know?
Right,
I mean, it's like a daily thing.
Right.
But the reason I even bring it up is because this breach happened due to Clio file transfer software that itself was breached, I think, a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're looking at is fallout from an older event, an older cyber attack that's just been uncovered now. And, of course, the reason we know about it is because Hertz had to notify the state of Maine Attorney General's office because they discovered the breach.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to notify them because they had customers from Maine that were affected. And they had a very short time window, 30 days, I think?
There's a short
window. To notify them. Yeah.
Or else. No lobsters for you. I'm not sure what kind of penalties you would...
At any rate, the lesson here is that when, you know, services like Clio or MoveIt or other things like that, when they get breached, you don't just get, you know, cyber attacks that take place right after that.
Yeah.
You get years and years and years of fallout that gets discovered in retrospect.
Yeah.
And it just shows you the deep scope of these things. And even at the time that Clio cyber attack took place, nobody would be able to predict that, you know, a company like Hertz is going to be releasing information about a breach 2 years later.
Yeah.
No, it's an example of the impact long term.
It's a mess, guys.
It's very disturbing.
So feel free to get online. Three lines open for you. 860-522-9842 is the number. And we will do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. We'll put these links up on our website, computertalkwithtab.com, is the name of the show.com, which also works. We're going to step out for a quick break. Mike in North Haven, hang on. We'll get back to you right away.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. And that's a lonely little flute. Carolyn's at the board. And we appreciate that very much.
Yeah.
But we also appreciate your calls, so feel free to get online. Let's go right to Mike in North Haven first. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing good. How are you?
Good, good. First off, early happy Easter to you guys.
Yeah, you too.
Thank you.
Okay, so I've been dealing with an issue. I have an Epson Workforce printer because I have a business that I run out of my house here. I've had it for maybe close to 10 years. It's a beast. It works great. I've never had any issues with it. Scans great. Does all that stuff for me. About 2-3 weeks ago, I didn't change any laptops or anything, buy anything new, but it stopped printing wirelessly for me. I tried, you know, getting rid of the printer and then trying to reload it. But then my laptop was also having trouble finding it on my network. I did find it somewhere. I was looking around and I kind of had to do a manual, and it did find it. And I'm like, okay, fine. So I reloaded it. And it's happening not just on my laptop. It happens on my wife's laptop too, where we could send stuff to print. And then, you know, on my laptop in particular, I'm getting an error message on it. My wife's, again, I think same thing, was an error message. And then the weird thing is last, you know, some point in the middle of the week, in the middle of the night, it must have been 1 a.m. or something like that, I hear the damn thing printing, and it was spitting out a bunch of things my wife had sent to the printer, you know, either earlier in the day before,
right.
You know, first scared the heck out of me, and then, yeah. I hear it. But here's the other, so here's the other couple pieces of the puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
I can print wirelessly from my iPhone,
yeah.
which is, you know, on the same network. And with the laptop that I'm using that will not print wirelessly, I can scan something from the workforce and it'll come, you know, and use the Epson software on my laptop perfectly. It'll show up. I get the document, the image, and I'm able to save it. So, and I have also tried the USB cable, plugging it in, and that doesn't work.
Oh, so just printing locally doesn't work. Oh. When you're directly connected.
Right.
All right. Well, that changes
Correct.
Everything.
It did. Yeah.
Yeah. That changes the whole situation. If it's not printing with a USB cable, I would say that there is a problem inside the printer.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Because we were going with networking and all sorts of things.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, the Wi-Fi hardware is just not connecting properly, and it's picking up a different IP address from the router and so on. But, yeah, I mean, you connected the cable. That takes that completely out of the equation.
And for it to just kind of finally go,
yeah.
I mean,
now,
it's 10 years old.
The one thing I'm going to say about the iPhone is that the iPhone and the printer are communicating independently of your network,
right?
Because it's using a protocol called AirPrint, which is ad hoc.
Okay.
That means it
okay.
The iPhone communicates directly with its own channel over, you know, using Wi-Fi technology, but it's not using your Wi-Fi network. It has its own connection to both devices have their own connection to each other directly.
Right.
If you were to look at the networking, there would be some kind of different IP address assigned to each.
Yeah.
And that
gotcha.
May be the only way that it's going to work reliably, if that AirPrint is the only functional way to, you know, where the printer is actually getting print jobs.
But if a local connection with a USB cable doesn't work,
yeah,
I think that printer is dying.
That's a hardware issue in the printer. 100%.
Yeah. You may need to get a new one.
And having said that the AirPrint feature works,
yeah,
that may soon fail too.
Mm-hmm.
I would not count on that forever.
Okay. All right.
So, all right. Yeah, you're right. I've been exploring it. I guess, again, I've had a good experience with Workforce.
Yeah.
The Epson Workforce.
They're great printers.
We have a hard break we're coming against here, Mike. Do you want to hang on?
No, that's fine. I mean, I just listen after the break if you recommend.
We'll be right back. All right. We are back. Four lines open for you. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. And Mike was with us and asked us, as we had to run out of time there and pot him down, he wanted a recommendation for a replacement to the printer that seems to be causing him some trouble.
Yeah. Well, we posted one. It's one of the Epson. It's not the Workforce product line that he had,
right,
which didn't write by him for 10 years.
Yeah.
It's the Echo Tank product line.
Mm-hmm.
Where you don't replace the entire print cartridge when you run out of ink. You just buy a bottle of ink and put it in.
Yeah.
And just add it back in. It saves money over the long term. And these are good printers. So
yeah.
We found a model that should provide him all the features that he had in the one that he's replacing.
Good starting. For less than $300.
Yeah.
So if something lasts that long, for less than $300, it probably won't. But that's a good starting point, Mike. And then, of course, you can always look at the more expensive versions.
Yeah, I mean, if you feel like it, you know, explore the product line both up and down from that model. But we think that's probably the one Indy would want to go with.
Yeah, good start.
Yep.
So anything you want to talk about there, Dennis, as we wait for calls?
Yeah. Let's talk about Microsoft misbehaving.
Again?
Yes.
All right. What are they doing now?
All right. A long time ago, almost a year,
they
updated the OneDrive app for both Windows and Mac.
Yeah.
And for some computers in both of those universes, the app itself is not working right. So if you're expecting files to be synced between their cloud and your computer, that may not be happening.
Oh, boy.
And they broke it 10 months ago.
Wow.
For these computers, they have yet to fix the app. And let's be honest, they have put out patches to the OneDrive app since then.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like they haven't touched it all that time.
Right.
They've just never put a fix for this particular issue into the app since then.
And the issue is pretty serious in that if you can't put your stuff in the OneDrive cloud that you want to put there.
Right. And sometimes, I mean, we don't generally advocate using, you know, Cloud Sync as a backup.
No.
But I'm sure that there are people that are depending on those files to be where they belong.
Right.
Both in the cloud and on their computers. Mm-hmm. And that isn't happening, and it hasn't happened for months. And very strangely, they've just been radio silent about whether they're even going to fix it.
Are the older operating systems, or is it older hardware?
It's just current versions of Mac OS and Windows.
Why would they not want to fix that?
Well, I don't know. Why would they not want to fix the patches to the Windows recovery environment that they've been issuing that break because the recovery partition on some computers isn't large enough to contain the patch?
A tidge too small.
They did that a year ago.
Oh, they've done it
many times.
And then
they did it again.
They've done it so many times.
So
we've talked about it on our show.
Yeah. Now there are people that are seeing errors in their Windows updates from a Windows recovery environment patch that isn't getting installed. And again, people are looking at, why am I getting this error? My computer's broken. Blah, blah, blah. Well, hold on. Take a deep breath.
Mm-hmm.
Windows is okay. Windows itself is fine.
Right. It's just the ability to recover.
The problem is the patch to the recovery environment, which only gets run if you need it.
Right. If Windows is not okay.
Right. If your computer breaks or something goes on, whatever. So that patch is not getting installed.
Right.
Now, they did it again.
Yes.
Well, and a year ago when they issued that recovery patch, it didn't work.
Yeah.
And they literally couldn't fix it, and they announced that they were not going to fix it.
And in other news about Microsoft and their updates, Microsoft warns that anyone who deleted a mysterious folder that appeared after the latest Windows 11 update, you must take action to put it back. The mystery folder is actually tied to a security fix. So if you thought it did nothing and deleted it, think again. Now, Dennis and I are talking off air a little bit about this. Putting blank folders on computers is just not what you're supposed to be doing.
No. And this is just very basic theoretical computer science.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
When you have a file or a directory on a computer, you have expanded your security footprint. Okay.
Right.
That means there's at least one more thing that can get affected.
Right.
If something happens, whatever.
Yeah.
Now, why are they telling people that having an unneeded and useless empty directory on the computer makes the computer more secure than it was without it? In theory, the opposite should be true.
I agree. And the funny thing is people are going in deleting that empty folder.
Right.
And now there's an article about the problem.
What is it about this update that they've done that makes the computer more secure
with an empty
folder. A useless empty directory on it?
Yeah, man. I don't
know. I don't know.
Is it because all the Windows operating systems are based on Windows 3.1 kernel?
Maybe.
We have to put this folder in here for Windows 11 to reserve back and talk to Windows 3.1's kernel. I don't know. Your guess is as good as ours, but we'll put a link up there to all three of those Microsoft stories. And let's get to your calls. You're going to go to Bob and Hebron. What's happening, Bob?
Morning, guys.
Morning.
I got two things. One thing is I was doing the the encryption in the Proton mail, and I sent it to my Gmail account just as a test case.
Yeah.
And I sent it with an attachment. And so I was able to open up the email, and it's a Gmail tab, but it's Proton mail.
Yeah.
And so it let me put in the password.
Yep.
And then it opens up the email, and then it says the name of the attachment.
Mm-hmm.
And if I download the attachment, that goes, what was attached, the file that was attached goes directly to my download folder.
Yes, sir.
Which is outside of Gmail.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
mm-hmm.
that all sounds great. So the final question is, did Gmail ever have access to an unencrypted version of my attachment?
No. You encrypted it in transit. When you sent it encrypted with a password, it's encrypted. They never had access to it. You decrypted it when you got it on your system and you downloaded it. But well, Gmail didn't see it until you...
I'm not sure about that.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Why? Because when he put the password in, it's available there on Gmail.
All right. At what point did you type a password into anything? I was trying to follow.
Okay. It is... I'm in it right now, so okay. I can tell you exactly what I did.
Yep. He sent it from Proton encrypted.
Right.
It was Gmail.
It was Gmail, and then he looked at the email in Gmail.
Right.
I get the email in Gmail.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I click on it.
Mm-hmm.
It opens a tab, and it shows Proton, and it shows what the email is saying.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, wait a minute. It goes unlock message. Okay. So I'm still in Gmail.
Okay.
I'm doing unlock message. I put in the password.
Then it never was encrypted until you actually type that in. But when you type that in,
mm-hmm.
it is only being decrypted on your computer. So yes, Eric is right.
Mm-hmm.
Gmail does not have that file unencrypted.
Right.
And okay. they don't okay. even after you've typed the computer in on your password, because that decryption is only taking place on your device.
Mm-hmm.
It is okay. not taking place on Gmail's server.
But I can see where you would have pause.
Yeah. I wanted to go through it again in my head because I wanted to be sure we're giving you the right answer. Yeah. But that is what it's doing.
Okay. So it doesn't matter that when I clicked on the email, the email in Gmail.
The email in Gmail.
it opened up a tab, and you know it looks like you're still in Gmail, but mm-hmm. you're saying that once I got to the tab, that was local.
Once you get to the tab, you're local.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that you see on the screen prior to getting to that tab is what Gmail is aware of.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're going to know that the Gmail, that email message itself came from your Proton address.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to have the base body of the email. They will have that unencrypted.
Mm-hmm.
But what they don't have is that attachment. They won't get that unencrypted. Okay. All they have is a block of... All Gmail can see is a block of encrypted gibberish to their point of view.
If it's local.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the dividing line is once I get to the tab.
Yes.
Then I'm local and I'm separated from the Gmail server.
Correct. Because it's the tab in your own browser on your computer
mm-hmm.
that is then looking at that. And that is the only place where the decryption takes place.
Okay. Okay. Super. All right. So that one, That one puts a bow on that one.
Sort of.
The other question, the other one I had a question on is on recovery drives.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have some Windows 10 computers that I expect that I will convert them to Windows 11 before Doomsday in October.
It's not Doomsday, guys. No, it's not Doomsday. It just means they're not going to update with patches. No more patches.
Okay.
No more stinking patches. Yeah.
It'll still work. I went a little overboard on that one.
That's okay. they want you to think it's Doomsday until you buy it, until you upgrade. That's true. But go ahead.
Here's the question.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make the recovery drive, which was made in Windows 10, kind of worthless? Once I'm in 11, and then you get past the October date when you can't get updates for 10 anymore.
Right.
Like if I tried to recover after October, if I tried to recover my computer with my recovery drive that was made in Windows 10, does that make the recovery drive kind of worthless and I need to redo it?
It doesn't make it worthless. It means you recover back to 10, and then you do the update again. So not the best use of your time.
Will they do the updates, though, after?
Well, the Windows 11 upgrade. We don't know if they're going to charge you for it after a certain period of time or if they're just going to continue to allow you to update it for free. But your larger question is create a recovery drive after the 11 upgrade would be the best idea. Right.
Okay.
Or just have a good backup. Whichever you want to call it. If you want to create the recovery after the fact with 11, you're good, or just have a good backup.
Okay. Okay, terrific. Thanks a lot. That was great info, and you guys always do your magic every time like I call with a question. So thank you very much.
We try, Bob. Thank you for calling.
Okay.
All right, see ya.
So long.
So it's a good question.
It is, and this whole matter of encryption is worth talking about sometimes.
It can be confusing. We're going to step out for a quick break. Leo, hang on. Three lines open for you. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk. We're here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number, and we'll do our best to help you out. Let's go to Leo in Plainville next. What's happening, Leo?
Hey, good morning. Quick one. I have a Windows 11 computer with I think it's an i9 processor, kind of a hot rod. And recently on a Windows update, I get a watermark on the bottom right of my screen that says something about I need to re-register my Windows.
Oh, great.
All right. It's looking to activate. I'm going to ask
you. It's been activated.
I know that.
For over a year.
I completely believe you.
Yeah.
It probably was very happy for a long time, and now something came down the pipe, and it is not happy anymore. We have seen this at Tab, where Windows activation just breaks.
Okay? Isn't that great? Thanks, Microsoft.
Yeah. And there seems to have been a Windows update that came down anywhere between 2 and 6 months ago that may have done this, and it can happen with any other update that they do, too. The solution depends on how you bought your computer.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay? If you bought the computer with a...
credit card? No, just kidding.
Well, an enterprise license of Windows.
Ah.
You're going to have a sticker on it that has a product key. For Windows.
Yes.
And the way that you're going to know that it's the product key is that there is a tiny little skeleton key symbol on there. And of course, it will also say that it's the product key for Windows. But you would be at the Windows activation screen in Windows, you would be able to put in that product key and it should relicense itself and reactivate. The other solution, if you bought the computer from a manufacturer that does not provide you with a product key like that, you got to call the manufacturer.
Oof.
There really is no other solution, because there isn't anything that an IT guy like us can do about activation.
Yeah.
Microsoft doesn't want us involved in that equation. And they don't really give us any information about it, so we literally can't tell you how to fix it.
Okay. Question for you then. Everything seems to be working fine, and I'm still getting updates. Is there any need to reactivate it?
Yes, because eventually things will not work. And okay. I can't predict what that will be,
or when,
because Microsoft can always change the terms and just decide, all right, everybody that doesn't have activated Windows can't do X, Y, or Z now.
Mm-hmm.
And then bang, that's going to happen. And that's just the way it's going to be. I have seen people run computers that don't have Windows activated for potentially years,
mm-hmm.
and they don't really notice anything about it other than the fact that they can't make certain, they can't change certain appearance or display settings. They can't like set a desktop theme.
Right, right.
Or they can't change their wallpaper.
Yeah.
Things that to me are kind of minor and of no account.
Right.
And that's why there are people that just go that way for years.
Yeah.
Because they don't really care about that stuff either. But then again, I can't tell you that you're safe, because they could just roll out a change to Windows tomorrow that, you know, maybe completely shuts the thing down if it's not activated.
Yeah,
you can't like assume that you're okay anyway.
It's the only product out there that basically can do this to you, is software.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
It can break itself.
And
then make you fix it.
And if you don't, it won't work.
And if you don't, it may just tell you you're out of luck.
We're the attorney generals and all this kind of stuff. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah, that's what I figured, that I got caught in the Microsoft vortex.
But definitely look on the computer, and if you've got that product key sticker on it,
it's easy.
Then you're golden. You just put that in, and you're going to be all right. Okay.
Yeah, I'll have to go through my paperwork when I bought it. Company I bought it from is very good, so if not, they'll probably have the product sheet.
Yeah, good
for me. It's just one of those things. It's a little aggravating, and you know, seeing it worked, I haven't bothered doing anything about it.
I hear you, Microsoft. A little aggravating. That's their tagline.
Yeah.
Microsoft. A little aggravating. Yeah, I hear you, Leo. We're with you,
buddy. Hey, thanks very much, guys.
You're welcome.
Appreciate your help.
Our pleasure.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Yep.
Just imagine the amount of time we spend and waste on this type of issue, because we see it a lot, non-activated operating systems.
Yeah, we have. There seems to have, I'm telling you, between 2 and 6 months ago, there was something that happened.
Oh, yeah.
And we get these calls.
All right, let's go to Chris in Waterbury next. Let's see if we can get your question in before the top of the hour, Chris. Go ahead.
Yeah, I subscribe to Proton Mail.
Yeah.
And when I try and download a JPG file from my mail, it opens the cameras and scanners app rather than downloading the file.
So trying to do a download, it's got the wrong association.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not that simple. I tried reassociating it.
Yeah. All right. Well, hang on a sec. We're going to hold you over the top of the hour. We'll do some research while we try to figure out why that happens. Okay, Chris?
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Hang on. I'm going to keep Chris on hold. And there's three lines open for you guys. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. And we're here till 11 o'clock. Everything we've talked about so far is posted over at computertalkwithtab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. If you also follow us on the old Facebook, so you can join us over at the Computer Talk with Tab Listener Network on Facebook. And if you're not a crackpot, we'll let you in. And you can go ahead and get all the links that way. If you follow us on X over at Tab Computer Sys, you'll get the links that way as well. So no reason for you to remember the links. You can just go get them. And Mike G. and Dennis post them live during the show. We'll be right back.